Baby Oil and Blow with you as always, big time Matt O. And my main man, he is the King Mabel to my Oscar.
That's right.
Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy.
You like what I did there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You, a couple of big boys over here.
Yeah, a couple of big boys.
Throwing
their weight around. Just, doing a little rap. Doing a little wrestling.
Just living the best lives we can here in the mid-90s.
Yeah, how much rap would you say you do a day?
You know, I'm doing a decent amount of rap. Yeah. Like, spend at least like an hour every morning rapping when I wake up and like...
Lift some weights.
You know, I try to just like...
Do some more rapping.
Get like a, you know, just 30 minutes for lunch like at work. But I like to use like 10 of that at least to just like, you know, spit some flow.
You only need 15 to eat that whole chicken.
Yeah, get my rap in, just like spit some flow. Like that's 10 minutes. Like 15 minutes, I'm just... Eating a whole chicken with my hands. Just a whole chicken with my hands. And then, you know,
if you're eating
five
a whole
left
chicken,
over, smoke a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, if you're eating a whole chicken, there's no need for utensils.
And I am.
There's no need for utensils.
You got to get that protein.
Yeah.
It's just, what, are you going to use a fork? Like,
that's dumb. You're talking
take,
dumb
like, good,
talk.
Like 20, 25 minutes to eat a chicken if you're like picking at it with a fork.
That's you're losing protein there,
oh,
pal.
Oh, man. What's going on in your life? A lot of stuff out in the world. We had 1 week without people dying, and now everybody's dead again.
Yeah.
How you holding up, buddy?
I'm doing really well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Myself.
Yeah, you look like you're doing good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That's my general
look. The rest
of
the world's doing terrible, but, you know, as long as it's fine for you.
Yeah. They'll get by, I think.
I'm a big mixed bag of emotions, man.
Yeah?
I got this water filtration pitcher that's... cracking and leaking everywhere. I've only had it for like 2 months. I wrote a bad Amazon review.
It's kind of some insight into your life.
Yeah, it's a pure. You know what you want? You want to get a Brita.
You want to get a
Don't
Brita.
Don't fuck around with this pure shit.
I got a Brita, pal.
I'm throwing this shit in the garbage.
What do you got? Like,
I'm moving to pure. I'm moving off the pure.
You got the regular like pitcher
into the
thing?
Brita. Oh yeah.
It's oh,
good,
I got this
good 10 cup pitcher.
Oh, I got this.
Now I'm moving on
giant,
to like an 18 cup.
Yeah,
like,
I got
you know,
one. Yeah, it's like a big cooler that
little
sits
knob
in there.
In the front.
Yep, that's what I'm working with.
I'm moving on to
Couldn't
that.
Be happier.
I wish I would have known you had one of those.
I'm on my second.
On a positive note,
I'm on my second one.
New sheets night tonight, so
ooh,
pretty stoked
damn.
About that.
Damn, yeah. Son.
You got all those people like dead in Vegas. It's not so great. Thinking about that, just, oh, this is kind of depressing. Yeah. Throw those sheets in the washer, and suddenly it's a new day.
Cheers everybody up.
Gonna wash all that misery right out of my hair.
We lost another wrestling legend.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lance Russell died today.
Mm-hmm.
Voice of Memphis Wrestling. R.I.P. to him. Was an old man even back then. So,
oh, from Memphis, Tennessee.
He had a good run. Tom Petty, though, gone before his time. There was a lot more hits.
Was he in...
Had a lot more hits in him. I know it. He just played Wrigley Field like a couple
region?
Months ago.
Was
he looked
in NWA?
He looked lively.
Was he a WCW man?
In the movie The Postman.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Hit Hollywood actor Tom Petty from the movie The Postman.
You know I love that movie.
I do know that you love that movie.
I'm not familiar with his other works speaking of. I might have to check that out.
Take a little sip of this whiskey at all these dead people. The Lance Russells, the Tom Petty's, the Vegas victims, all these dead people this week. Every week we'll just talk about who's dead.
I guess so, because it's how every episode's starting. So.
World's on the downslope, Matt. World's on the downslope.
To all thems.
Looking forward to those clean sheets, though. That's going to be nice for me.
There you go.
I feel like a real princess as I'm laying my head down tonight.
To all the people that can't sleep in clean sheets.
That's right.
Cheers,
they hate
sir.
Us because they ain't us.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, it's whiskey tastic. Four Roses bourbon. It's yellow label. It's nice, moderately priced whiskey. So if those guys want to throw us some bucks for repping them on here, then you should definitely throw us some bucks.
If it don't come in a plastic jug, I ain't interested.
Oh, no, it'll come in a plastic jug.
Oh, nice. I'm there.
Yeah. So,
speaking of going down easy.
Yeah, going down easy. This week's primetime wrestling went down pretty easy. It's a real easy, just leisurely watch this week. Episode 62, 5-5, 1986. That's what we're watching. That's what I watched, at least. That's what you watched, too, I hope. So we're not talking about different episodes.
It'll be interesting to find out.
Oh, this could get confusing real quick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're in the studio with Bobby Heenan, Gorilla Monsoon. This is the second episode we're there together. They're already sparking up some chemistry. Things are looking good.
Very good.
Let's jump into those quick results.
Let's do it.
A lot of matches once again, so, you know, let's get all this info dump out of the way. First match, a gentleman named Jeff Gripley and another gentleman named Ivan McDonald.
That's them.
They wrestle the Funk Brothers, Terry and Dory. This shit appears to be from, like, months ago. Like, this is, like, earlier than even what we've been watching the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it really was. Like, it really was.
Like, way fatter than he was.
They
like,
had to go out of their way many times to acknowledge how they're talking about former champions and, like, sometimes twice removed champions.
Keep on just, like, repeating that the commentary's out of date. Like, well, fucking record new commentary
for this
shit.
As you know, this guy won at WrestleMania, so he no longer has the belt, but he beat this guy for that guy anyways before that.
And Gorilla Monsoon would helpfully letting us know that Dory Funk wants to be referred to as Horse Funk from now on.
Yeah, Horse Funk.
Until Vince got in his ear, was like, it's Hoss, damn it!
It's Hoss, you jackass!
Out of this, Dory taps out Gripley with the Texas Cloverleaf. Nice little end of the match. They go to work on him afterwards. Hart hits him with that branding iron. Moving into a big second match.
Big time.
Big treat here. We got Bobby the Brain Heenan not managing, in the ring, working his Madison Square Garden debut against Salvatore Belomo.
Sal Belomo.
Nice.
Sal Belomi.
Nice kid from the neighborhood, you know,
nice
Salvatore
kid.
Belomo. But he didn't have it. He didn't have Belomi. It this week. Heenan gets a pin after a big desperation butt drop. Punched him in the face.
Punched him in the face, butt drop
on him. Yeah. Yoko style. Moving on to B. Brian Blair, one half of the Killer Bees versus greatest job guy of all time, Iron Mike Sharp, the ultimate jabroni. This is double count out after it breaks down and they're brawling to the outside. Ref throws it out, gets rid of both of them. Moving on to a masked man.
To the other.
The Gladiator.
Against the other greatest jabroni.
Early 60s, tubby looking, probably old school wrestler.
Yeah, he was
getting
good.
One last little paycheck from Vince. That was nice, whoever he was. I didn't bing it. You could bing
against,
it if you want to figure out who that guy is.
Against big time jabroni.
Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Yeah,
jabroni. Not so much of a jabroni because, you know, he pins him after a moonsault. Poffo with a moonsault, buddy.
He got lucky.
Moving on to a ladies match for whatever goddamn reason. They kept pretending like they were going to build a women's division back then.
Baby, tell me more.
They weren't really going to. It's just an excuse to make sexist comments on commentary. Donna Cristinello versus Linda Gomez. Linda wins with a bridging roll-up.
Ooh, baby.
Steve Lombardi. You want to talk about jobbers. The future Brooklyn brawler. He's teamed up with a man named The Menace. A masked man named The Menace. They're fighting a pair of Tonys. Mr. Tony Atlas and Mr. Tony Gurria.
Yeah.
Atlas pins Menace after a little press slam into a running splash.
Tim Tony.
He looked large and in charge, moving around good for all that muscle mass.
Tony.
Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart with their manager,
first appearance on
Jimmy Hart.
Our show.
Oh, yeah. Great little match where they're fighting Ronnie D and Mario Mancini.
Two great names.
Couple of gentlemen, couple of respectable looking gentlemen. Unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely.
Ronnie gets pinned after the heart attack, so they weren't long for this world. Not a very successful tag team. Hart Foundation took him down.
They're just warming up.
After that, moving into Chuck Simpson versus big, stout power lifter Ted Arcidi. Arcidi wins, then sort of over-the-shoulder rack submission a little bit. Yeah, put him over
his
shoulder.
One with a move.
One shoulder.
You got a move.
Yeah, jostled him until he gave up. Just like some serious jostling, he gave up. Big main event, last match, Mike Saxon and Jim Powers. Jim Powers, another perennial jobber. This guy's showing up and losing for like the next 15 years straight.
Jimmy Powers.
Predictably, he loses here when his partner Saxon is pinned by Bundy after a big corner splash and a big elbow.
Ooh,
beats him with a three count, Matt.
No.
What do you beat him with?
He's got... till five.
That's right. He needs five. Bundy knocked this guy out real bad. Those are big results. So,
speaking of Bundy's five count, let's get right into it.
Right into our little segment called the five count, where we count down our five highlights, lowlights, moments
five.
That stood out of this match.
Yes, sir.
Or not this match. All these matches on this episode of this lovely little television show.
Mm-hmm.
You watched it. I watched it. What was the first thing that stood out to you, buddy boy?
Right out the gate, buddy. Mm. My first... one, going to the Funkers versus Mr. Gripley and Ivan McDonald.
Yeah. Into that.
I thought it was decent. Yeah, served its purpose, you know. Got the heels over. Established that what's his face was officially Horse Briscoe, and then a minute later,
Horse Funk,
or Briscoe. Why do I keep saying Briscoes? I just love the Briscoe brothers.
Great wrestling, brother tag team.
Sorry.
Back in the day.
Anyways, Mr. Funk, Hoss Funk.
I've been informed that he wants to be called Horse.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
And then a minute later, Hoss, you know, like the TV show.
Mm.
Great work, Gorilla. But there was some great heel shit from Terry in that match, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just healing it up.
Like always.
You know, my only gripe.
Out of control, wild man.
Only gripe with the match is they spent the whole match doing upper body work. Mm-hmm. And then the very end of the match was Terry with three shots to the leg. And Hoss coming in for a Texas Cloverleaf.
Well, yeah.
I don't feel they really set that up.
Well,
but,
you know, it's a rough little move. You get thrown in there, you know, this is pretty much over.
Well, it is. I mean, and they didn't call it the Texas Cloverleaf.
Yeah.
He's like, he's got him in a double leg grapevine into a Boston crab.
Yeah, you think that, you know, these
Texas Cloverleaf,
Texas boys, you think they'd have that name figured out by then. You know what I liked in this match was right out the gate, that McDonald fellow, that champ, that young up-and-comer. He comes in just a house of fire, thinking he's going to start just throwing a bunch of drop kicks in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like drop kick. Right away, Dory's like, now you're
he
a job.
He just sidesteps
like,
that
fucking
one.
Fucking just sidesteps it, like fucking locks this guy up, and then just starts, just, you know, running roughshod over him, dominating him. Like,
he doesn't
hey kid,
even,
did you, this isn't your night to shine. Yeah. Did you get the memo?
He doesn't
like,
even
shut
like,
him down quick.
He doesn't even give him like the whatever of like swatting at the jump kick or
the drop kick.
He just literally just takes a half step to his right.
The look on his face like, who the fuck does this kid think he is? What's
like
he think he's
semi
doing?
Connects with the first one.
Yeah,
and
coming
then
in
he,
here getting over on the Funk Brothers.
Throws that second one and he's like, that's enough, Junior.
I'm Horse Funk, motherfucker.
Hey everybody, it's me, Horse Funk. I'm gonna funk you up.
So yeah, that was a solid match for the brothers.
So I liked it. Good enough. You know, set them up. Showed what they can do. Says, hey, watch out for these guys. They might be a thing.
Don't try to get one over on them because they'll shut you down.
Yeah.
My number one, just sort of wrapping a few things up into one little entry, just called Classic Heel Shit.
Ooh.
Back in the day, people knew how to wrestle like a heel. There are no heels in wrestling anymore. Everybody wrestles the same goddamn match. And then you just got to know, like, who the heels are and who the good
guys
are.
He's the bad guy. Why do you know? Well, he attacked the good guy backstage.
When they give an interview, if they're being smug. But in the ring, like, there's
no
indication of why this guy's a cheater, why this guy's bad, why I should hate him.
Well, that guy just did, like, three flips in a row.
So we got Bobby the Brain Heenan doing classic heel shit.
Yeah.
We got Iron Mike Sharp back-to-back in a row. Classic heel shit.
Mm-hmm.
Heenan coming out, being all particular right before the match about folding his jacket and fixing his knee pads and fixing his hair.
Oh, yeah, you make him wait.
With the fans, waiting for that lockup. Like,
yeah,
they
that was his first move, was yell something at the fans. Like, bell rings, he immediately turns towards the audience and yelled something at the fans.
Half this guy's arsenal is just taking a powder. Like, anytime the fans think they're going to start getting into this match, Heenan's like, no, you're not. He's going to bail out of that, Raleigh. Cheap shots and bailing. That's what he does.
A lot
cheap
of bag
shots
off.
And bails. Cheap shots and bails.
Tie himself up in the ropes.
Yeah, you make him wait for that big ass kicking he's going to get. And once it starts up, huge bumps. He's bouncing everywhere.
They
he's
were fired
off,
up to see
looking
it.
Looking like a fool. We can't just, like, you know, harp on this shit enough. This great heel shit from back in the day. I love it.
No.
Iron Mike Sharp just keeps it going. Like, this guy looks like a big weirdo. You can't cheer for him. He's got that strange, like, gait, that weird body language. Guy comes into the match looking like Frankenstein, swatting away flies. And
I love how every week he's on, though, Gorilla Monsoon tries to put over his conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
He's forever just like, Mike Sharp, this guy, his conditioning, though.
Sneaky. He's in sneaky good shape. I say sneaky because you look at him, and he just looks like a big doughy guy. Which I love, but man, just loud, just real verbal whenever he's in a submission hold, just screaming. Great stuff there. That part where he tries to bail out of the ring and he just gets his feet caught up in the ropes and he's left hanging upside down like an idiot.
Great
just
stuff.
Looking like a moron, just milking that for all it's worth. Great heel move, dragging the good guy's eyes across the top rope. Just rope burn on those eyes. Love it. Dude really did a bailout at one point, took a powder all the way to the 10th row of the audience, just running like a coward.
Yep.
Fans were going nuts. They couldn't believe
it. Get back in there, you bad man.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
At one point, he had Brian Blair stuck on the outside. Like, we're a good 5 minutes. Every time Blair tried to get back in the ring, he'd just fucking mug him.
Yep.
Just like a gross mugging. Don't let him back through those ropes.
No.
Why would you? He's an idiot stuck on the outside.
You overlooked something. And you got to give our guy the brain respect when he deserves
it. I'm always trying to give our guy the brain respect.
You were talking about good heel wrestling
he
and how
he deserves it.
You're talking about good heel wrestling, how it doesn't exist anymore.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody just does big moves and shit. And everybody's got cool offense, right?
That's so dumb. What's the point?
So the brain has one big move in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And Gorilla even gives him props for it. So does Lord Alfred. It's a perfectly timed
Drudging.
Back body drop.
Ooh, big back body
and
drop.
And like he hits it clean,
that guy a big
throws
bump.
Him way into the air, looks beautiful. And instead of like giving the chance.
Brain's not working out. He's not going to be in good shape.
No.
He's not going to like be working on new moves.
But he
All
pops
you need
it.
Is one or two moves you
he
can do good.
He pops it. It looks great. And before you can give the crowd even a chance to like be like, well, that was kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into taunting.
Oh, yeah.
He just goes right in, like before
Don't
the guy's
too comfortable.
Yeah, before the guy's body even Liking hits the
you.
Ground, he's already there to tell him, like, yeah, check out what I did. That's good heel shit, man.
Everything
that's good
he did in that match was designed to make people hate him.
You want somebody to hate you?
That's
tell
why
him
I love
over
him.
And over again how
know
great
why
you
I don't
are.
I don't want anyone to hate me.
Sometimes I do.
Like who?
I don't know. I just like working as a heel in life.
Go through my life just looking for approval. Won't somebody love me?
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. I'm bullying people all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly
just
busting
like,
chops.
Like 5 minutes a day, somebody would like be like, hey, you're doing okay, buddy.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
Know, good call, work.
I can start calling you up
good
if
work,
you want.
I appreciate it.
Just
oh,
be
yeah.
like, hey.
Would you?
Hey, I drove past your house, saw that lawn was nice and cut.
Oh, yeah.
Looks good. You did a real nice job.
Well, you know, when I get depressed, I like to cut lawns like Forrest Gump. So,
well, hell yeah, dog. That's
you know,
everybody, man.
I'm the talk
man.
Of the neighborhood. Everybody's jealous.
Yeah,
everybody's
hell yeah,
jealous.
Man. Hell yeah. So that was your big number one
that
is
was
just
my
heel
big
work.
One. All that shit.
Heel
just
work
fucking
in general.
Heel work is what jumped out at me.
Okay.
If you want to go into more specifics about any of those like little segments or whatever, feel free. You know, we can go back into them.
Yeah, well, I'll point out that number two was, in fact, the Heenan match. So,
okay.
But we covered all things there. Great big offs. Great tying up. Crowd, like you said, very fired up to see him get whipped.
Nice sequined monogram jacket.
Sal below me.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is that his name?
Belomo.
Blow me?
No, it's Belomo.
Oh, my mistake.
Belomo.
My mistake. I just wanted to
Come
point
on, he's
out.
He's from the neighborhood. Don't bust his balls.
He looked a lot like the young priest from The Exorcist.
Oh, we're talking that new TV show?
No.
The classic.
The classic.
70s
he looked like
film.
Damien.
Okay.
Damien.
Yeah, I could see
Damien.
That.
Damien. You're not my mother.
A little bit thicker.
Damien.
Belomo had a thick neck.
Well, yeah, he was thick. But in the face, you take a look, pal. Straight oh, Exorcist.
I will. Next time I watch The Exorcist, I'm going to be thinking about Sal Balomo. All right, my big number two. Macho's the new Intercontinental Champ, and he's talking to Mean Gene Okerlund about it. Shining up that belt. He's kissing that belt. He's coked out of his gourd by the looks of things, and he's just manic. He's making no sense. He's jumping from topic to topic. He's ranting and raving, and it's great.
It's undoubtedly the greatest moment of the night.
Okay, yeah.
And it's
here we
undoubtedly
go.
The very reason that we do this podcast.
Let's get into it, yeah.
I mean, this is it. You want a reason? This is it.
Macho Man ranting and raving, Mean Gene Okerlund.
I like
cool
to think,
as a cucumber, just rolling with the punches.
I like to think that we're watching this shit so you don't have to, because Lord knows there's a lot of it that's shit. But this is why. This is why you want to watch it.
So,
you turn it on.
Break
get to
down
this
what's
point.
Working here. First off, just the wild claims that Macho Man's friends with Rod Stewart.
It's not a wild claim. Just he was friends with him.
Apropos of nothing, just starts bragging about this name dropping. He calls me Madness.
Well, yeah.
What,
as you know.
Of Rod Stewart.
He's close personal friends with
Rod Stewart.
Stewart.
Calls him up on the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Madness. He calls me Madness.
He called him the night before he released Tonight's the Night. Which I'm not even sure is a Rod Stewart song. Pretty sure it's a Neil Young song.
Madness gave him the, he's like, no, you don't want to yeah, release that song. No. You pass that off to somebody else. But, I don't see it as being part of the Stewart oeuvre.
It doesn't matter because they never come back to that part of the story.
No.
He just establishes that Stewart calls him Macho Madness.
When you're doing cocaine, you got a lot of ideas.
He calls me Madness. He calls me Macho Madness. Because Macho Madness is growing. Growing. Uh-huh. It's more seductive than sex.
Oh, you can't say that on this podcast.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, more seductive than sex. Another great Randy Savage line. I agree with that, man. I always said, you want to seduce somebody, no quicker way than just having sex with them.
Or madness. Madness, because it's more seductive.
Calls me madness. Drags in Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Starts demanding that Gene ask her a question. Gene finally asks her a question.
After Madness finally gets her to look into the video scope.
Sure. Finally gets Gene to ask a question. Then he demands that she leave because Gene is not allowed to ask her questions. And he just starts ranting and raving about what would ever happen if me and Gene tried to give her a flower.
Ooh, you know what would happen?
What would happen?
If Okerlund gave Elizabeth a flower?
What would happen? I don't know.
I don't think he really established.
No, he didn't. But
no.
But
you could imagine.
It wouldn't, yeah.
It wouldn't be good. Probably wasn't going to end well.
Probably me and Gene would be like hogtied with duct tape in the trunk of a rental car, I would imagine.
It's all great for all the right reasons.
Unhinged, just sweaty, coked out promo. This guy's
Gene,
just sweaty and struggling, but couldn't be more in control.
Mean Gene tries to like lead him to talking points, and Macho won't have it. He asks him about like, oh, well, you used to be a professional baseball player. Macho Man doesn't even acknowledge that. He just keeps going because he's got those cocaine thoughts.
That's right.
And he's got to get them out. And he doesn't have time for what Mean Gene's talking about.
Macho Man, cutting promos. This is what wrestling's all about. This is why we suffer through these lengthy, lengthy shows full of all these jobber squash
right here.
Matches.
But it made it all worthwhile because I got to see it. Excuse me.
Oh, no, you're excused.
Yeah, that happens.
No need to even ask for it. There's an assumption of being excused here.
We got booze here. We might sound like a bad episode of Rick and Morty, but, you know, that's what it takes.
There's no bad episodes of that show. Come on.
No, there aren't.
That's a real jewel. That's a real jewel of television, that Rick and Morty.
But if there could be bad episodes, it'd be you and me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
If we got the books on that show, it'd go downhill real quick. You got a
first thing I'd do, get Ted Danson on there.
Oh, that's, yeah, I know.
He needs to be everywhere.
Always your plan.
My number three was, we glanced right past it. It was,
Well, let's go back to it. Let's turn this boat around, buddy.
Be Brian Blair versus Iron Mike Sharp. But again, kind of talked about it all. Just,
Be Brian Blair didn't look very good.
At times he looked good.
Just be putting Iron Mike Sharp over
A lot of times, no, he didn't look good. Yeah, well,
no personality in that guy, man.
Be Brian Blair didn't win.
No, but
Iron Mike Sharp didn't lose. I just call them.
What's with the parody? Why not just have Iron Mark Sharp come out and destroy this guy?
Yeah, they should have been
tag
packing him the entire time.
He belongs back in his tag team. Yeah. He didn't even have his B-striped pants on. Like, give me a break, buddy.
But we talked about all the high points there, so I'm just going to point out some quick bullet points then, since we glanced right past it. There's the Mean Gene and with Sheik and Nikolai.
Oh, yeah,
They're
giving a lot of promo time to these two men who cannot speak English.
Sheik was doing great stuff, though, much along the lines of just a crazy man yelling and on drugs.
He's got a lot of unhinged, drugged-out charisma, that man.
I just want to give him...
Still doesn't mean he speaks English.
I just want to give him credit for calling Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Brucis Beefcake. So, you know, don't miss that, Brucis Beefcake. And then,
there's another case where they're talking about Beefcake and Valentine having the tag titles, and they don't even have them anymore.
No, yeah,
now
it's all
Bulldogs
over.
Like,
Bruce's Beefcake.
Like two tag
Bruce's Beefcake.
Changes behind on these shows. They need to get their act together.
Mean Gene just is like, okay, we're done talking. Back to you. We also got Leap and Lanny and the Gladiator. I didn't really like that match, but I just want to point out they do use a short arm scissor in that match.
Oh man,
and
yeah.
Gorilla loses
it was
his
only
shit.
Last week he was talking about how
long
it's been since he has seen a short arm scissor.
Continuity, brother.
Here we go.
He's talking all about how he misses it.
Hey,
and then,
good idea,
bam.
Gino. I'm going to pull one out of this match.
There you go. Short arm scissor. Waving a good time.
Is that the match where they pulled out old Greg the Hammer Valentine on commentary, too?
No. Well, yeah, he was for that one and for the... he was there for that women's match,
The women's match. But I got to say, I was digging Valentine on commentary.
Oh, like, I've always hated that guy. Yeah, and then I heard him on commentary, and it's like,
commentary,
this guy,
he's doing great.
He's all right.
He sounded like Robert fucking Mitchum. It was Robert Mitchum just doing grizzled,
he's
like
just,
old
yeah,
man
he's not getting excited
commentary.
About anything. He's just telling you about what he doesn't like. And he's like, this sleeping Lanny. He's jumping around a lot. I don't get it. Why is he doing that backflip?
Right, none of us get it. There's something off about that boy.
He's your dad when you watched whatever it was as a kid and you were all excited about it and he just wanted to tell you about how like Power Rangers wasn't real. It wasn't even the same white
Things
people you love
when
in the
we
masks.
Were watching Howdy Doody.
Yeah, this isn't what you think it is. It's actually just a bunch of Japanese guys under those masks doing karate. They didn't even film it here.
Look, Santa's not real, kid.
Yeah, that's essentially that was Valentine's entire gimmick.
I wish the guy would have done more commentary over the course of his career because, you know, he's serviceable in the ring, but nothing exciting. I could have dug on him.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the mic.
Just hating on shit and pointing out how
Lighten
nothing's
up
real.
That mic.
He really braced you for life. Like, it's not going to be great.
No.
Deal with it. Just get over it. Oh, okay.
Listen, thanks. It's not a long show. It'll be over soon.
Hour and a half.
What do you want from us?
Get over yourself. And then, yeah, my number four was Mean Gene and the Macho Man, but we covered that.
Yeah.
So I cruised right along.
Cruising right in, yeah.
I didn't like the back half of the show, but apparently you did.
No, it was rough, but I got some stuff coming up. Just an esoteric thing. Just sort of my number three. These hosts are the tits, man. That's what I wrote down. You know, Bobby Heenan.
It took you halfway through the show to come to that.
Gorilla Monsoon.
Shame
these guys,
you.
Dueling pinky rings.
Mm-hmm.
This week, dueling pinky rings. Both these guys. Brain's wearing a pocket square that's matching his tie. Gorilla's making a ruffled shirt and bow tie just fucking work. Like, these guys are class acts. Just
first of all, Heenan.
Personable.
Heenan looked like a lost member of the Horsemen.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
How well he was dressed. That was a double-breasted suit.
For sure. Like,
in the 80s?
These guys could walk into any goddamn room anywhere in the world and just rule the room.
It.
Yeah, rule the room. Just be high rollers. Like, lending class, lending credibility to the show. All that back and forth banter. Every time they come back from a break, every single time, like, Gorilla can't wait to just start needling Brain about something. Just
lay
like,
into him.
Just get him in a corner and make him talk his way out of it. And just the glee on his face as he just, like, picks on Bobby. And it's like, what's Bobby going to do? Like,
and
two
Heenan,
episodes into these guys together, and they're already great.
Heenan kills it with that whole, you've misconstrued what I've said. You're the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm the good guy. How dare you? Like,
every
he kills
time,
it.
Turns
he
it
owns
around.
That bit. Like, no one can own it, but he does. Like, it's like he's the guy that invented it. Like, nobody ever thought, like, well, if I just turn the tables, because the Brain just owns it. And when you're talking about style, I would like to point out Gorilla Monsoon always matching his Coke shades.
Mm-hmm.
With his tuxedo shirt.
Yeah, you got to. Like,
he had that light blue going.
You don't just get a random color tint on your fucking glasses.
You
there.
Match your Coke
match
shades
shit
with
up.
Your tuxedo shirt.
Probably he's like out shopping on Rodeo Drive with Bobby Heenan when he goes back to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, hell yeah.
After they're done.
You know, they might disagree on some things, but the Brain's
episodes.
A gentleman. He's going to extend the invite.
Oh, sure. He doesn't want to be sitting next to a guy
no.
who looks classless on the television. That brings down his worth.
We miss you already, Bobby.
Yeah, so going into my number four a little bit to keep this moving, just going back to that Hart Foundation squash.
Oh, that's my number five.
Just really struck me what a complete package the Hart.
That's
are.
My number five.
Like, right off the gate, like, they got Jimmy Hart. We've talked about Jimmy Hart, just what a great manager he is, how much energy he lends to the matches, running around on the outside, taking bumps. That goddamn megaphone gimmick is just genius. Like, you can hear everything he says throughout the whole match. The crowd, you can hear, like, them getting on his case.
Watch that hold, ref. You gotta watch that hold, ref.
Yeah, these Harts, they're great workers.
He's hitting him with cause face, ref.
They're like the WWF-like version of the Andersons here in the way they're just, like, angry and brutal and focused. And they just stomp the shit out of their opponents, but in a very precise way. They pick the little spot they want to stomp the shit out of, and then they stomp the shit out of it, and they're just like, oh, I'm going to destroy you, and I'm mad at you because I could be at home right now, but instead you're making me give you a whooping, boy. Great, you got like a good like technical guy and big brute guy, like a dynamic. It's not the same shit going on.
Brett wasn't
very versatile.
Brett wasn't afraid to wrestle heel here either.
Oh, absolutely not. He was doing some good stuff. I like these guys quite a bit as a heel, but you know, they caught on, so eventually they had to get that pink and black shit going and sell a bunch of merch. But Hart Foundation as heels with Jimmy Hart, this is a complete package. This is what you want your tag team to look like.
I'd say what really impressed me about the team, Bret Hart didn't even look like he had a stroke.
Oh.
He was moving around really well.
Young Bret Hart, turns out, didn't have stroke face. So
yeah, it was. I don't know why that is.
I assume that was always a thing.
I thought he didn't always look like that.
I think my favorite part of this match was towards the end. Like these guys, they're wrestling just looked green as grass. Like these guys,
Ronnie D and Mario Mancini show some goddamn respect.
Ronnie D, like at one point, gets the advantage and is like gonna start going on a little bit of offense, but just like can't even figure out what to do. Like you can see, he's just confused. He's lost. He's like, I'm not able to string moves together too well. So instead of just like selling this shit and making themselves look dumb, the Hearts are just like, all right, these guys don't know what they're doing, so I'm just going to grab them by the scruff of their neck and shut them down.
Yep.
Kind of like Dory did in that first match. You don't see this shit anymore. Yeah. We're like,
yep, you're done doing drop kicks, kid.
Like,
that's
shut a guy down, and just, instead of going back and forth, you give me your moves, you give me, it's just like, nah, man, I got to protect myself. I'm not fucking selling your weak shit. Like,
nope.
You want to be on offense? Sorry, you're not on offense. No offense. It's over. We're just going to fucking sack of potatoes you up in the air, hit you with that heart attack, and then this match is done, you jobber.
Done.
Can't let these jabronis get too uppity, man. You got to pop their heads before they get too swole every once in a while.
He said, check yourself before you rickety wreck yourself.
Are there even veteran wrestlers anymore?
No.
Taker's gone even. Who's the oldest guy on the roster these
Taker.
Days?
Hey,
Big
Taker.
Show still wrestling?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I don't even know if I consider him a grizzled old vet.
Cena. Cena's one of the veterans. That's how bad it is.
I could see
Cena and Orton.
I think I'll accept those two as grizzled vets. I want to see more matches where they're out there just shutting down young guys.
Ooh, that's how you could get Orton over.
When he's just
shutting people down. Let him be the
like
dickhead he is.
A dick, yeah.
Yeah, they're always like, ooh, don't be such a dickhead, Randy. No, let him be.
No, put him against some fucking one of these little flippy, jumpy, jumping bean, dumb kids.
And let him yell nope when he shuts it down.
Nope. And
then
you get no offense.
Yeah.
These are free ideas for you, Randy Orton. Hit us up.
You're welcome,
you know?
Man.
Yeah.
I know you're on the social medias.
Okay, we moved into that that Hart Foundation was your number five?
Yeah, that was my number five.
Okay, yeah, I got one more.
I'm guessing it's not Ted RCD versus Chuck Simpson.
It absolutely is. Number five.
Get out of here.
Is, fuck you, Vince. You know, that's just my
big
double middle fingers up at Vince McMahon.
Because
this match is everything that's terrible about the WWE style. Like, we've praised the WWE style before. We say it gets shit on a little bit because it's more about theatrics and posing and catchphrases than it is, you know, that chain wrestling, that hard, take it to the mat, lock up hard. But goddamn, when it goes bad, it goes so bad.
Let me see your muscles,
This Ted RCD man has business being on television.
Oh, he's strong, pal. Goddamn, pal.
No business being on television.
Oh, he's strong,
Big, immobile power lifter, green as grass. You can tell he doesn't know how to make a match happen. Vince has got him on fucking TV squashing people just because of how he looks.
But he's like 5'7 and a half.
And no personality. Like, he just looks confused and dumb.
I'm thinking about lifting weights right now.
Terrible. God, he can't execute anything. These guys can't get their timing down. So, like, he just keeps, like, breaking this Chuck Simpson's guy's neck with clotheslines accidentally.
Don't forget.
Stopping and stuttering on all these fucking Irish whips.
One of the worst fuck you Vince McMahon moments of the match.
Uh-huh.
Who's on commentary?
Oh, God, I don't even remember at this point. They jump around a little bit too much. It's Vince on commentary.
Vince on commentary.
Oh, I got to get this boy over.
Yeah.
Only I know how to talk about. Look at his grass. This guy's thicker than a Snicker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, Simpson's got some terrible working punches. I felt bad for him for a while after I put up with this Arcidi shit, but then, like, he tries to fire up and, like, just throwing these limp-wristed nothing fucking punches that don't do nothing. God, Simpson blew, like, a simple snap over takedown at one point. Like, just clumsy, stupid stumbling.
Yeah, it was brutal.
These guys had no business being on television. Vince McMahon, just because some guy's a roided up freak doesn't mean you need to hire his ass. You got a whole fucking roster of roided up freaks at this point.
A ton of them.
Wait, allegedly. I guess he got through that steroid trial thing. Yeah. Found him not guilty. He was not guilty of forcing these guys to do steroids.
No.
Yeah, right, Vince.
Tell that to all.
Yeah, right. They weren't doing blow off your office desk back in the 80s either. Give me a break, buddy.
You think they were?
Yeah, I definitely think. Did you see the pile driver video?
Pile driver. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys were doing a lot of cocaine to get through that. Yeah.
It's a good video, though.
A little honorable mention that we didn't quite come across. I like Heenan just pushing this gimmick of how his tag team, his big King Kong Bundy, Big John Stud, can't be slammed.
We'll get into that, but before we do, I don't want to get too far from Ted Arcidi here because I have a thought.
More about that.
And you did the absolute right thing, burying everything.
Mm-hmm. Miserable.
But there's one.
You're not going to find something you positive. Like about Arcidi.
Yeah. No. I didn't say that.
Finally, cropped
beard. I didn't say that. But there's one positive to this, and it is something we have to adopt for this show.
Oh,
all
ears here.
It's Bob. Good old Bob Heenan talking
Bobo.
About Ted Arcidi.
Bobo buddy boy.
And how he wasn't impressed, but he did give us the official baby oil and blow diet.
Oh, yeah.
When referring to Ted Arcidi.
Half a can of tuna.
Sucking down a half a can of tuna fish and eating 12 dozen eggs.
There you go.
Baby oil and blow cookbook. That's the meal. Half a can of tuna fish, 12 dozen eggs. You want to get ripped like your boys... You know, the Big O and Nate Adams.
Mm-hmm.
You got half a can of tuna fish, 12 dozen eggs. That's how you do it.
Stay big like King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd.
Yeah, you're talking big.
Like this can't be slammed gimmick. Bobby Heenan's going to pay money if anybody gets slammed. Because these guys would just be
having upped it from 10 grand to 15.
Yeah, like just traditional.
It's not
going
to happen.
Nothing doing squash matches. Like. If this wasn't going on, but this just gives a little extra storyline to these matches. It makes them exist for a reason. Like, it's just a little bit more interest.
I would pay $500 to the man that could lift up John Studd's head.
Oh, that's a big old melon. Right? Just a big square head.
Just a giant head.
Big toe-shaped giant head.
Yeah, these are big boys, man.
I feel like that guy could have done something if Andre didn't hate him so bad.
You want a peanut?
Kind of got bullied out of the business from what I understand.
Really?
Big John Studd, you could have been something,
that's
buddy boy.
That's a sad story.
Sorry about that.
It makes me sad.
Yeah, I like that little storyline, even though I don't like the actual match of watching King Kong Bundy stomp around and try to do shit.
As Ernie Ladd pointed out in that match,
cat. A lot of big in that match.
He said
big
that.
Big this, big that.
He said, Andre... is the giants of all giants.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
No, that's fact.
A lot of giants. But that about wraps it up for this episode of Primetime Wrestling, as far as I'm concerned.
It's all the good moments. You're welcome.
You want to throw in there, yeah.
Nope.
So there we go.
To quote Randy Orton's new gimmick, nope.
Nope. Heart Foundation, good tag team. Macho Man, good promos. These hosts are great. That's about it. That's about all this.
Yep.
Nothing happen episode had going on.
And... Iron Mike Sharp is always great.
Iron Mike Sharp is also
always
great. So let's move on to a different topic now.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
After we take a little bit of a break.
What should we do after the break?
After that, we'll come back and do some more talk, a little bit looser, you know, not so much tied to this goddamn 80s wrestling programming. A little bit of talk.
TV, new seasons of shows are starting up.
Yeah, maybe we'll see how it hashes out.
But if you got an idea, I'm all ears.
It's going to be the three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Today we'll have a ball at breakfast with my delicious cereal.
Count Chocula.
Ah, music to my ears.
Delicious chocolatey flavor and tasty marshmallows.
Step aside, Count Clumsy, while I cut in with my ever-so-scrumptious Frankenberry. My strawberry-flavored cereal with tasty marshmallows.
It's a real hit.
Count Chocula.
Frankenberry.
You can enjoy this good, nutritious breakfast with...
Frankenberry.
Count Chocula. Elvira here, mistress of the dark and sometimes surfer babe, because Coors Light is the official beer of Halloween and the parties at the beach. Malibu Beach, where you can hang ten. Look, Frankie and Annette. And of course, when it's time to chill, just reach for that cooler of Coors Light. Aged ice cold, never frozen stiff. It's the right beer now for Halloween. Just look for the silver bowl of smooth display and dig up your friends now for a party at the beach. Happy Halloween, dude.
Welcome back into Baby Oil and Blow.
Right in it, right back in it.
It is now time for what
rejuvenated.
You've been waiting for this.
Nice little break.
You've been taking breaks.
Some jumping jacks.
You've been not listening
Splash
to us before.
Water on my face.
You're listening now.
Yeah, pay attention, buddy.
Why?
Why is it?
It's the three count.
Get up on your feet.
Oh, that's right.
This is our big segment, dog.
Big time where we talk about random stuff that's not so random because we always have, you know, a theme to go.
That's right, dog.
This week, our big old theme, we're going to...
I'm excited about this one.
We're bringing it into modern day. You know, ooh, a little drum roll. Okay, easy, buddy boy. Okay, we're talking modern wrestlers, you know, these guys we shit on over and over again.
Yeah.
All podcast long, we're talking about how these guys don't have it. They got nothing.
Nah.
They got nothing compared to these 80s guys.
Nah,
they're outclassed jabronis.
Yes.
But we're going to throw some love their way a little bit. We're talking modern wrestlers who could work in the 80s. Like, who out there now would have still been big?
Just blew your mind.
If they were back then in the 1980s. Who translates?
Just blew
who doesn't?
Your mind.
What do you need to succeed as a 1980s wrestler? Let's move straight in. Who is your number three?
I'm so excited about this. I told you earlier I could have done a King Kong Bundy.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Could have done a King Kong Bundy five count on this one.
We might
still
get
left people.
I'm
going to
see how long we can get
still
you running.
Left people.
How long we can get you talking about
all
these
right,
guys.
All right, number three. I had many a foreigner to pick from that I thought could have fit fine in the 80s.
Looking for one of those classic
but
80s
then,
heels.
But then there was one foreigner that stood out more than anyone
somebody
else.
Somebody ain't like us. Somebody who does things different in the parts of the world where they come
not
from.
Not only was he foreign, but he was real. He's real big and scary looking.
Oh, I like that.
And he's really not good at talking on the mic or not very good at wrestling whatsoever.
If anything Volkov and the Sheik have taught us, this is what it takes to be a foreign heel in the 80s.
Jinder Mahal.
Oh, the
modern day Maharaja.
Yeah.
He would have killed it in the 80s.
Well, I mean, you get him on those. He's so big now, so vascular now.
Yeah.
Just like looking like he's made out of boulders. Just imagine
this
you
is,
got him on that real shit, those
right.
1980s steroids.
He's on modern day steroids, bro.
Oh, you get him on that hard stuff like you were buying on the street corner.
Dude.
Shoot his ass full of it back in the 1980s.
You know how big he would have been?
Yeah, have him suck down a half a can of tuna, about a dozen eggs. Like,
oh, brother.
Would have been huge.
He would have been gigantic.
And people hated brown people back in the
they
80s.
They do.
And
they're trying
a new thing now.
He's essentially doing the exact 80s gimmick in today's day and age, but people have just been taught to not care about it.
I know, and it's like
and it's
post 9/11 too. You'd
yeah.
think that people would be getting on this
but
guy's
no.
case, but
we've come so far in acceptance.
I feel like there's so many people who've just forgotten about 9/11.
We've come so far in acceptance that we can't just boo a guy for being different
no.
in wrestling.
Jinder
that's
Mahal
sad.
Not getting over
that's sad.
As world champion is my personal 9/11.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
I take it personally.
I think that's a, yeah. That's...
I got a 1,000-yard stare when I'm looking at the ratings every week. When these ratings come in.
You know, how are you people not tuning in to see this guy get beat?
You know, I'm tracking these ratings. This is what I'm doing.
I know.
I got so much goddamn time in my
yeah.
day. I was like, what are the wrestling ratings?
You've called my little brother multiple times to crunch numbers. I know you're using them as your numbers guy.
Hey, Dave, I know you're probably reading over house show reports right now on the internet, but I need you to take a break, look up those ratings for the TV
this week.
No. I don't want to know about what happened on the house show last night. Like, we'll talk about that in
a minute,
Dave,
I get
buddy.
It. You know all about the house shows, but no.
How much is that guy getting paid a year?
Do we want to, too much.
Pretending like
way
he's an accountant. He's
way
reading
too much.
Pro wrestling sites.
Listening to Billy Joel songs.
Eating crackers out of a briefcase.
We keep bringing them
cracker
up.
Cracker eating crackers.
That's, wow. Put that on a pin. Yeah, that's his
I
life.
Will.
Do we want to call him Davey R. Shyster or Davey Wall Street?
I think I like Davey R. Shyster.
Okay.
It makes him sound
all right.
Jewier.
It's official.
Yeah.
Davey
like
R. Shyster.
I like that name.
But that's my number three.
That's a solid,
not Davey R. Shyster, but Jinder Mahal.
I think Jinder Mahal would do much better back in the 1980s than he's doing right now.
Just get him a manager.
Kind of a theme, moving that in. Somebody I think who would do a lot better than the
1980s. I bet I know who it is.
Than they do right these days.
I don't know.
I'm talking the Briscoe brothers.
Ooh. I'm
talking perennial Ring of Honor tag team, Jay and Mark Briscoe. Not talking about, you know, old Jack Briscoe and those boys back in the day. I'm talking about these rednecks from Sandy.
Give it.
Sandy Fork? Sandy Fork, Delaware.
Yeah.
That's where they're from.
Sandy Hook.
These chicken farmers. These toothless chicken farmers are just the quintessential Southern wrestling.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
Tag team.
You put them in like overalls or something?
But I'll just. In gear that's got Confederate flags all over it, man.
That's fine, too.
You could wear Confederate flags back there, and people were like, good, you should do it.
That's crazy!
Yeah.
These guys are a Southern wrestling tag team coming up in an era where Southern wrestling does not exist anymore. There are no more territories. These guys, they're not real big, but they're believable fighters.
They'd be like the Southern version of the Bushwhackers.
They can work face or heel. Yeah. Karate was huge back in the 80s. You got that Mark Briscoe hillbilly karate.
Yeah, the hillbilly karate.
These guys could have worked the Midnights. They could have worked the Rock and Roll. They could have worked the Fantastics, the Freebirds. The list is endless. They could have had great matches, made lots of money, just traveling Mid-South into Dallas, into Florida, into the Crockett's. Mm. Just, but unfortunately, they got no more Southern wrestling.
R-A-S-S-L-I-N, that's wrestling.
So these guys are just stuck in like a tiny company, same company, doing the same shit for...
Where's a Jimbo Crockett to roll the dice
God,
on these
since
guys?
What, like 2002, 2003 now?
Have
they
been doing this?
Yeah, just... Stuck in the same territory trying to make ends meet.
It's got to be at least 2002.
Yeah, bringing those guys to the 80s, I feel like they would have done a lot better. They would have been a lot better off. I would have loved to have seen it, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
It's all a what if. Like that old Marvel comic, you know, like...
What if?
What if Dr. Doom grew boobs? Do you remember that comic? I loved that comic. That was real good.
Sensual.
Real good.
Erotic.
Yeah. More seductive than sex.
Dr. Doom's steel titties.
Dr. Doom's double D's. More seductive than sex.
Yeah. That'd be 4 D's? The quadruple D?
I'd like to have a 40 right now, if you know what I'm saying.
40?
40 of malt liquor, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
One down.
You want to... I mean, we could do like a to be continued and just go
like
get some Old English.
Old English, maybe.
Mickey's?
Colt Cobra. There's a lot of
Cobra, yeah. I'm a mad dog man. We're getting far. We might as well just we're close. We might as well just finish this out, I guess.
All right, we'll get some 40s and some bum wine after this.
Number deuce.
Well, now I want to just plow through this. Let's get through it.
Number deuce.
Be quick
number
about
two.
It.
You gotta have in the 80s a guy that can own the mid card, and you can possibly push him to the main event.
Every once in a while, you got to sneak him up there.
If you need a guy.
Real solid hand.
A good heel against your biggest baby face. Now, I put a lot of consideration into this. I got another guy. I'm going to wait to see what your list is. He could have made the list, but I... No. I'm
going
to give credit
going
where credit's
way.
Due.
I'm going to see how many guys you could talk about.
This guy's been doing
might
it.
Be here all night.
This guy's been doing it for a long time. He's doing it right. He's the heel you always need, and that's the Miz.
All right. Mike Mizanin.
Yep.
He's okay.
Carrying a strap at all times. He's doing his damnedest to put over that strap.
Tully Blanchard a little bit.
Yeah,
I could
pretty
see
much.
I see a little bit of Tully
just,
in the Miz.
He's always got gold on him, and he's always going out of his way to tell you how much better his life is than yours. And that's solid stuff that never gets old, that transcends any time. And I just think, like I said, he's timeless. He works anywhere.
Like a Memphis or something where the crowd's just bunch of hillbillies
they're
and really just
constantly talking about how he's from Hollywood.
On what hillbillies they are, that'd be good for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have made it in like up north in the 80s. A little bit too small 80s, for 80s
no,
pants to...
No. Well, he would have had to put on a little size for
he'd
that.
He'd have made him be like a Sean Mooney type or something in there. Put him in a monkey suit and had him doing a shit back at WWF Studios in front of that wall of monitors. Yeah,
he would have had to put
Get
on
that
a
guy in
size.
Memphis, though. Like,
but, yeah.
Him and Jerry Lawler going at it.
Right.
That could have been something.
Yeah.
Underrated The Miz, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the things have come around recently. I'm not really paying attention. But people shit on him.
They decide here and there they're going to, you know, push him seriously. And then they're like, nah, we're just fucking around.
Mm.
You're going to job out to...
Got that trashy French-Canadian wife that I love.
Oh, God, she don't get me started, dude.
That long, stringy, bleach blonde
hair. She's just...
Hair.
Everything about her is perfect.
Her, like, gleeful, smug smile thing she does.
Her Kelly Bundy hair.
Whipping that Kelly Bundy
just,
hair out. Ugh. She's the shit. She knows she's the shit.
Baby, yeah, baby.
Oh, God.
Oh,
doing this
baby,
again.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
This is my fault for bringing up a woman.
Baby. So what's your number two?
Where are we?
I don't know. You got me so excited.
Back
I hit my
to talking
head
about wrestling.
Number two,
modern
yeah.
day pro wrestlers. Guy's not living up to his potential. Guy, okay. I'd like to right. pluck right out of this time stream. Throw in my DeLorean. I don't know. Maybe throw him in my phone booth.
It's your kids.
Yeah, Bill and Ted style.
Prop,
get him back
asshole.
In the 1980s where he could have been something else. Man by the name of Big E Langston.
Oh.
He's been in this tag team, the New Day, for a while. You know, they're holding down the mid-card from what I can tell, but kind of the same shit over and over again, and you can tell they're just never going to get to
no,
that
it
next
is,
level.
No, it is the same shit
never
over
gonna
and
get
over
to that
again.
Next
it's not
level.
Kind of.
You throw this guy back in the 1980s, he's goofy, which they mm-hmm. loved back then.
Mm-hmm.
He's got size, which you needed back then. This could have been the guy that Bill Watts was looking for to replace JYD after JYD mm-hmm. couldn't go anymore. He just kept trying to find that next big old fucking black dude to market to his black audience as their hero and cycling through guys that never quite caught on. I feel mm-hmm. like Big E could have stepped right in there.
Yeah.
You throw him up in like 1980s WWF, clearly Vince would have saddled him with some sort of outlandish, stupid gimmick. Like, who knows, maybe he would have been the Red Rooster, or maybe he would have been Mantar. You don't know, but Big E is goofy enough to where he could have pulled off one of those dumb old-timey WWF gimmicks. He would have made it fun. Probably would have had like some sort of Hacksaw Jim Duggan longevity out of it. Like,
yeah.
Bushwhackers, those guys turned from... hardcore brawlers to just a comedy act that swung their arms around. Hacksaw went from that wild man in Memphis to just a guy who stuck his thumb up in the air and said ho, and these guys just kept making money for years and years. I think Big E could do that. He's better being a goofball than he is a big mm-hmm. intimidating like monster type dude.
All factual statements, sir.
Plop him right down there in the 1980s. Get him out of this tag team. This guy could be making 80s money, not just these like modern money.
Yeah,
I'm talking about that kind of money where you got like just hundreds.
Yeah.
It's sitting around rolled up into little tubes. Like
a straw
coke.
Almost?
No,
it's
cork,
like a straw?
Cork. Coke with your money because just
cork
to let people know that you're
corkane.
Successful. Like I could use a straw. I got a box of straws right there, but I'm going to snort it through money.
Are you watching this?
Because
I'm
rich.
Look at me. Rolling this up.
Look at my paycheck.
Take a look at that.
I wrestled
this is nothing to me.
18 times this weekend. We made 18 different towns. None of us have slept.
Of course I have to
a
do this cocaine
a whole generation
right now.
Of wrestlers is going to die before they're 40.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. Well, you know.
We gotta go talking
they're
about
big
dying.
Boys. They make their choices.
We gotta
you
stop
know?
Talking about dying.
Ooh. I don't want to see another one of these, man.
I don't want to see another one of these.
Oh, God. More Rick and Morty. Killing it.
Oh,
getting more relevant by the episode.
I want you to start adopting the catchphrase. Oh, jeez, Matt.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel that way. That sexy Lothario, oh, baby thing. If you might
baby.
Sounding like Morty before you know it.
You still got one pick left, so we'll see where this can go.
Yeah,
I mean,
could
who's
get bad.
To say?
Could get bad.
Who's to say?
You got like three
I'm
or four
on my
more
number
picks.
One.
Three or four
I do, I
okay.
do, but I've only been allotted one more. So my number one pick, I might not agree with it, but I have to make it.
Wait, you're the one that made the pick. Don't make one you don't agree with.
Don't tell me what my business is. It's a pick that has to be made.
Okay.
You talked about it last
this
week.
Is the pick to click right here.
It's why Springsteen songs.
Bruce.
Are what every wrestling fan is.
Bruce.
It's why they loved their big fat son of a plumber, Dusty.
American Dwayne.
It's why they loved the Shuckster, the Hulkster.
Man. Wrestling fans like the working man.
They like somebody that can relate to what they're going through. And that is why John Cena would work now.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's why John Cena would work then.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's why John Cena will work forever.
1980s John Cena. I feel like at the very least his gear would have been a lot more interesting than what we've been doing.
Yeah.
With
I mean, he'd
John
have to
Cena.
Change that up a little bit.
Something like some sort of like fucking skate or die shit I could see him wearing.
Yeah.
Be like, what's the. He's. Yeah. His gimmick, the right? His gimmick
just,
is that he's a giant 8-year-old that got
like
hit with gamma rays.
When he started,
an 8-year-old boy,
when
got
he
hit with gamma
started
rays
with like
huge.
The Thuganomics shit,
mm-hmm.
like he could just wear that Run DMC shit.
Oh man, that'd be so good.
And then just be like, I like that new music that we call hip hop. It's the 80s,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but I'm relatable because I'm from
Maybe
the streets like
got
you
that
are.
Hasbro Giga. He could have been Sergeant Slaughter back in the day.
Yeah, essentially.
Seen it back there.
Yeah.
As the big tie-in toy thing with G.I. Joe.
He's ripped to shit. He can he's proved time and time again, no matter how much you want to count him out, he can rise to the level of his competition, and he can wrestle if he has to.
Comfortable taking performance-enhancing drugs,
right.
which you needed to be back then.
The crowd loves him, and that's all that matters. And
I heard that he's a big drinker, too. I hear he could drink anybody under the
table.
Well,
you got to.
So, you know.
You got to.
You're
going to
survive in that
When you're
cesspool.
Going out with Scott Hall, Shawn Michaels,
that
and Kurt Hennig.
That hive of scum and villainy.
And just
was
drinking and doing coke all night.
You
got
picture John Cena and Andre just like putting down like, you know, kegs
just,
of beer.
Yeah. Oh.
Just like keg after keg.
And Cena was the kind of guy, he'd go toe for
Bottles
toe with
of wine.
Him. Yeah. Like, I don't care how tall you are. I'm gonna keep pace with you, sir.
I would have liked to see Cena in 1980s wrestling just for the drinking competitions.
Either way, he would have worked, man. I'm telling you. He's timeless. Whether you like the guy, whether you hate the guy, he's timeless.
Certain tier of guys with, you know, these main event guys, these guys that can talk, they can wrestle, they got the longevity. You could take most of these guys and plop them into any era and
yeah.
they'd adjust. Like,
he's
you take
that.
A John Cena.
He's that.
You take a Shawn Michaels. You take a Randy Savage.
He's going to destroy Ric Flair's
title
count.
There's another one.
He's going to destroy it because he's never going to go away until he physically can't wrestle.
Ric Flair worked in the 1980s. Ric Flair would work in the 2080s if we ever figure this time travel thing out. If this world is still alive in the 2080s, I hope that Ric Flair's like brain in a jar is like the 20-time world champion at that point. And he's just
should be.
Cutting promos and like wearing pinky rings on his little robot fingers.
Yeah, he should be.
That would be wonderful. My number one... Somebody, I think, you put him back in the 1980s.
Man, here we go.
They
I'm
could
excited.
Make $1 million. Guy made $1 million.
I
like,
love $1 million.
You want to make some money. He talked about that foreign heel gimmick.
Yeah,
people loved the foreign heel back in the 80s. That's what I think if you take this this little dime piece Lana, ravishing Russian Lana,
ooh.
You put her, oh, baby. You put her back in the 1980s. She's money now. Like, this girl, she gets under the fan's skin.
Tell me more.
She can talk. She's got a halfway decent Russian accent. She's got the body language. She's got the facials out there on the ring. Like,
tell me about that face.
You take this. She's playing a foreign heel, and she's playing a manager in an era where foreign heels and managers mean shit. You put
Even
her
though
back
she's
in the
from
1980s.
Florida?
That's not true. She's from Russia.
Oh,
you
my mistake. My mistake.
Lady talk.
My mistake.
Put her back in the 1980s when those things mattered. She would have been the biggest thing ever. And this girl, God, she's looking hot. There's wrestling fans back in the 1980s have not conceived of anything as attractive as her.
She's got the what's her tits in Rocky IV look down to a T.
What's her tits in Rocky IV?
Yeah.
Who's in Rocky IV?
I just
IV?
Said it.
That was Ivan Drago.
Yeah, and the,
yeah,
he
was
the girl.
Gorgeous man.
The blonde.
I don't remember
what's her
Rocky
name?
IV that closely.
It's like the best Rocky.
I'm thinking about Lethal Weapon 2. There's a nice blonde in that
That's
one.
That's a good one, too. God, you keep going. I'm going to think about who she is.
Okay, I was just talking about, talking about Lana. You get this chick in, like, back there on that World Championship Wrestling program we're watching and have her talk for the Russians
yep.
so those guys don't have to talk for themselves?
Yep.
They're main eventers suddenly. They're not these perennial mid-carder dudes.
Oh, all of a sudden they're good, yeah.
Yeah, they're a huge, huge act because she's going to put them over the top because she can talk, she can sell, she looks like $1 million. He put her in the WWF, give her like, I don't know, like a Heenan family type stable.
Yep.
Just give her like 8 or 9 random heels, just like throw her as she comes out like 6 or 7 times a show. Just like, she'd be like Miss Elizabeth and Bobby Heenan all rolled up into one thing. Like, she'd be huge. She'd be the biggest thing ever.
Bridget Nielsen.
Also... Bridget Nielsen, oh yeah. Yeah, she was dating Stallone back then. They were just trying to see who could get more yoked on steroids and throw each other around the bedroom.
God, that sounds
just,
like a good
just
time.
Just kind of hit me too, like, Lana can dance, man.
Yeah.
She's got a long history dancing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Vince would use?
Yeah, it's all in the hips.
If she was around.
Yeah.
He's putting together that Pile Driver album. He knows Russian. That girl can dance like that. Pro dancer. Pro dancer. Oh, look at the way she moves. She's got a sex appeal. Very fluid. It's fluid the way her body wiggles.
Yeah. She's all right, man.
Ravishing Russian would have been even more ravishing if she was in the decade of excess.
I considered Rusev for my list.
Yeah, throw Rusev in that time machine. Send him back there with her, too, because he'd do great. There's another guy who'd do great.
Honorable mention, Samoa Joe. He's a great foreigner.
Samoa Joe, definitely going to have to change up his presentation back then, but I think he's got what's in it.
Foreign guy, not very happy. Likes just beating people up.
Well, I'd want him in like a grass skirt, though.
That's fine, but that's like what Haku did. That's what the Barbarian did.
Yeah, I want him wrestling in a grass
skirt. He could do that.
That's racist!
He could do that.
I mean, probably pretend like you can't speak English, too.
Oh, broken at best.
I could... Old Samoa Joe stumbling through some broken Islander talk. That would be good.
But Lana, that's
him
a good
Haku
pick.
Haku would have been a damn good tag team.
Oh, one of the best.
Joe and Haku.
Lana is one of the last great valets, and they're trying to push her as a wrestler, which is dumb.
Oh, there's no reason for it. She was lighting the world on fire, just seconding a dude, putting together a nice little package out there, like taking that Rusev gentleman to the next level.
Yeah, they've separated the two of them, even though they're on the same show.
Stupid. Yeah. Take a girl who can't wrestle and make her wrestle when she's already making you money doing other stuff.
Yeah. Making the fans angry.
It makes no sense to me.
Invaluable.
So much.
Never will.
So much makes no sense to me anymore.
Oh, never will. Oh, the world.
That's
what's
why
happening?
We're doing this pathetic, nostalgia-filled podcast here.
Yeah.
We just refuse to grow up. We refuse to accept the world we're living in.
Don't have to when you got 80s wrestling.
People are dying.
We need to get a robot
pets
for this show.
Heads are falling off. Nice 80s robot.
If we had a robot for this show.
Take us to the next level. Come and bring us drinks while we're recording.
Yeah.
And boop, boop, beep, boop, boop. Say boop, little boop, things. Beep, boop,
beep. Happy birthday, Bolly. Happy birthday, Bolly.
Dress up a girl in the next room as a robot, probably. Yeah. Spray paint her a little bit and make her make robot noises. That'd be cheaper than actually buying a robot. I can't afford a robot is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we could afford a young lady.
We definitely can't build a robot because I don't know how to build anything. This is not the 1980s. Men don't know how to build things anymore.
Tim Allen does.
he builds it with too much power, though. He does too much power, and then it falls apart.
He's a good dude. He likes cocaine. We should get him on the show.
Tim Allen would be a great
get him on the show. He's probably got thoughts.
Guest host. Get him all zooted up.
I'll have our
probably
people
get him
reach
talking
out to
shit about Richard Karn, I bet. But you could get him to start talking some real shit about Richard Karn.
Like, he'd do like the, like, no, he's a good guy. I can't.
Oh,
but then after like 15 minutes of it,
here, buddy,
after,
we'll
15 minutes, well, since you're asking.
Get that mind.
There was one time, but that does it. That's our thoughts on how shitty of a guy Tim Allen is.
Tim Allen, piece of shit.
That's our thoughts on
throw him back in jail.
Wrestling. That's our thoughts on current wrestlers.
Richard Karn, good dude.
That's your
Tim Allen, piece of shit.
Yeah. To Wilson, he's gone.
Oh,
but not
R.I.P. Wilson.
And to youngest
loss in the world.
The youngest son on that show. I'm pretty sure he's dead.
The one who turned goth?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh.
He's probably
he
dead.
Died?
I don't know, probably.
Probably got into heroin. Yeah,
just go with it.
Goth kid probably got into heroin.
Speaking of getting into things, what are we getting into next week?
Next week we're getting back into World Championship Wrestling.
Oh,
we're
God.
1 week out from Starrcade 85 The Gathering.
Hopefully they're picking up the pace there, you know.
Maybe we'll be picking up the pace, maybe we'll be slowing it down. So join us next week, we'll be doing that. In the meantime, you know, get all this shit on your iTunes and your Google Plays and give us the star ratings and all that shit that people beg for on podcasts.
What about if you got Twitter? Are we there?
Get on the Twitter. Get on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Posting matches, posting pictures. Couple of good time Charlies, just social mediaing it up.
Bam.
Got a big week ahead of us, people. So, you know, get focused. Get focused.
Do it. Do it. Baby, oil, and blow.